This is Border Crossings, radio's number one request hour. And now, your host, Larry London.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, our guest is someone very special in the music world. He's gone through some highs and some lows in the last few years with the passing of Linkin Park's Chester Bennington, one of his friends and bandmates from Linkin Park. I'm going to be talking with Mike Shinoda this hour. Mike has a brand new project out, a 3-album series of instrumental music. He's a tremendously talented guitar player and songwriter, and Mike Shinoda is also a well-respected figure in rock music, and he joins us today on Border Crossings. So hang around with us for Mike Shinoda coming up right here on Border Crossings. London, welcome to Border Crossings, and joining us today from his home on the West Coast in the United States, we have one of my favorite rock and roll superstars, a guy that's been a good friend of the Voice of America for a long time. He's put out some great music, including some new albums. Both came out in the month of July. We're going to talk to Mike Shinoda today. Hi, Mike. Welcome to VOA.
Hey there. How are you?
Good. It's great to see you. Great to have you on the show. And I wanted to find out, first of all, I knew that the new albums are called Dropped Frames, Volume 1 and Volume 2. So is this the first time you've done I know you scored a film, but is this the first time you've released an album that's all instrumental music?
Yeah, it wasn't something that I really intended to do either. I've always listened to instrumental music. I mean, I grew up, actually it was, besides, you know, growing up playing classical music, and then eventually, there was this phase where this thing called trip hop came into popularity. And I listened to a lot of that, but that stuff kind of influenced in part, the sound of Linkin Park, like groups like, or I should say producers like, DJ Shadow and Aphex Twin, were very influential on our sound. And yeah, so this year with quarantine, I started making things online and streaming the sessions, and it was a way to, you know, communicate and commune with the fans. And also, like, more than just like the fan relationship, I think it was like, you know, being in quarantine, you don't see as many people, you know, and I was missing like a sense of there's a social aspect of it that I was trying to fill. And so I was, you know, streaming, making these songs every day.
And I think you referred to it as you felt like it was Groundhog Day, like the movie, where they repeated over and
yes.
over and over.
Yeah, it was, especially in the beginning. I think we've really adapted to it now over here. But in the beginning, it did feel like, is it a weekend? I don't even know, you know, because I don't have a Monday through Friday type of schedule. And yeah, so I started doing the streams to kind of break up. I wanted to break up the monotony, and I wanted to put like an anchor in my week. And the idea came to me to just like, well, you know, maybe just doing a certain thing every weekday will help. And so I thought that it'd be also easier for the fans to, you know, they wouldn't have to like guess when I was going to be online. Mm-hmm. So we did 10 to 1 o'clock. We still do 10 to 1 o'clock, LA time. And, I make something from scratch every day. And the, you know, usually it's a song, instrumental track or something. And, sometimes it's other things, drawings and paintings and things like that. I've been doing graffiti in VR on my stream, which is really fun. But you know, you had mentioned the drop frames releases. Those are basically just collections of some of the things that I've made. I'm about to put out the third one, third volume of those tracks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of feel like it's interesting. I don't know if any, I've ever released music until now that you could like study to or go to sleep to or cook to, you know what I mean? Like especially it's just like, there's so much, I look on social media and I see so much screaming, and I think that, you know, now for me especially is a very good time to release something that doesn't have any like lyrical content, to give people a little bit of a break from all of that talking.
Mm. Did you play all the instruments on each song yourself, or did you enlist some session players with you? How did that work out?
I play enough instruments that I, you know, can fill whatever, like I've made punk songs, rock songs, metal songs in these sessions, shown people how to do. I play a little drums, like I can usually fill any role that I need to fill. And if I can't play the instrument, for example, like a trumpet, then I can find, VST, I can find digital things that'll help me play them. But just for fun, I saw some clips of some of my friends on usually on Instagram, actually, doing musical things that I thought were cool. And I just, you know, basically texted them and said, can I piggyback off this idea? Can I take that idea and bring it onto my live stream? And, I'll start where you left off and I'll take the song somewhere. So everyone from, you know, Money Mark, who people know from his work with the Beastie Boys, to brand new artists like Elise Tro, who's an incredible singer and drummer and musician, to Dan Mayo, who's a drum phenom.
But, you know, and I'm looking at the album covers, and I know you're an artist, so the obvious connection is, did you do the artwork for these albums? Because they are really creative.
No, thanks. I wanted to make it as light and fun as the channel is. So I've done I went to school for illustration. That's the thing that I always thought I would be doing for a living. Like the music growing up, like every chance I got, I'd take, you know, art classes. And then I went to school at Art Center College of Design, and majored in illustration. They didn't let you do a double major. So I wanted to do graphic design with it, but I wasn't able to. But the reason I wanted that is because I wanted to do album covers. I always knew I wanted to be involved in music. I just thought I was going to be doing the art side. And then on the weekends I'd make songs and play music with my friends. So yeah, to be able to now, at least once a week, I'll do on my Twitch channel, I'll do an art day, where I basically take requests from the fans the entire time, and just paint silly stuff that they want to see. It's all cartoony, like goofy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. The album covers for, you know, Drop Frames are really cool. There's a lot going on. I really like those album covers.
It's now, like, you know, you're basically talking about full going to college. Of like,
I guess I should call you Dr. like, Mike Shinoda because you got a doctorate.
I got invited back to Art Center at one point, to speak, and I had started a scholarship there. So yeah, I got they gave me a honorary doctorate in humane letters, which is really cool.
Well, you've done, you know, so many different things. You've done them so well. Which do you like more, the writing or the actual recording, the putting it together, the production part of it, or the performing live? Do you have a favorite part of this business?
I think I don't really have a preference. I like having multiple things that I can get involved in and go deep on, because the variety keeps me, I don't know, the variety keeps me sane in a way. And it's not like one part of it might be that, having, like, if I get a writer's block or I'm kind of just down on doing one thing, I can switch to another and it'll, you know, bring energy back.
Hmm. I'm sure at some point, you planned a tour. It seems like everything has come to a screeching halt in the music business. Mm. But I know at some point you're going to go out and tour, and you did put out a solo album, I think it was last year, Post-Traumatic. Mm. You had an EP before that. But so, and we'll touch on that a little bit too. But as far as plans for Mike Shinoda to go out and tour, is this something that you might consider doing?
I don't have plans to tour at this point. I think there are so many artists, you know, from the biggest to the smallest who were planning to be on tour right now. And, you know, I know artists who are planning to put their very first album out and tour, and they can't really, I mean, they can do the album part, but that it will, to be honest, like if you put your album out right now and you can't tour it, it's going to negatively impact the sales of the album and the reach of the album, because the internet, if you're relying entirely on the internet to promote your album, the internet moves too fast. Mm-hmm. So there won't be the sense of, like, when you go from city to city, there's these constant reminders that, like, your music is out there and you exist and people get to go to the show and they have fun and they go back to the music. So to put out an album right now is really tricky business. On top of that, you've got big groups like, you know, Green Day, for example, who was going to have this massive, like, stadium tour, and that's all not happening right now. I know that when the doors open back up for touring and people feel, you know, for whatever reason, feel good about getting out there and going to shows, there's going to be this just deluge of, like, bands and musicians and other, you know, theater and things. Like, people are just going to be pouring out into those spaces. And I have no interest in being part of that, to be honest. Like, it's going to be crazy. I will definitely be the one eventually in the seat enjoying the show.
Now you, talked about personally or professionally how this whole pandemic has affected you. How about personally? Everybody at home is okay. people you know that tested positive? I mean, how has this impacted Mike Shinoda's life?
Yeah, I mean, I've had various friends catch COVID. I know people have caught COVID. I know of friends of friends or friends of family members who have actually passed away. But luckily nobody in my immediate circle and my immediate family. We are very conservative over here about masks and social distancing. We haven't done an indoor anything since March now? Mm-hmm. Or was it March? It was, we take it seriously. And, even if it's we limit the amount of people in the house and all that or around the house rather. And, if we go out, we wear masks. We had a scare the other day, actually, that one of my kids' friends' families tested positive. And so we had to go get tested. And it turned out that they had been sick weeks before, and that their COVID levels that were coming down. So they were barely at the tail end of having it. And on top of that, we social distanced and wore masks, so we didn't catch it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, knock on wood. I mean, thank goodness that everybody seems to be doing fine, and the kids are, our kids are old enough that they can, if they have a tech problem, oftentimes they can figure out their own tech problem, which is really nice.
Yeah. And like I was saying, you do so many different things. One of the things you have done, I don't know if you're still doing it, you had been an election correspondent for the UK. So are you still, this is the perfect time for election coverage now. Have they said, we need some reports?
I think that was really just a fun, I'm thinking that was with that one magazine. Sometimes magazines and publications will put together fun little promotions to just flip things up and have fun. I was the magazine editor of Kerrang, which is a very famous rock magazine.
Yes, yes.
And I really, as you can imagine, I really didn't do very much. I did more than I would expect, actually, but it still wasn't very much. So yeah, in times like these, I've actually been trying to stay a little further away from it. I do obviously plan to vote. I do encourage all of my fans to vote. And once in a while we talk about social issues and things that are going on in the news when I'm on my stream. We talk about them. Because there's a live chat going and we interact the whole time. But in general, I'd say that I've been staying away from it a little more because Twitter in particular, I mean, a bunch of the social media, but that one in particular, I moved it. I took it off the front page of my phone and I buried it on the last page of my phone because I don't want to, I feel worse going on it. I realize every time I go on it, I come off feeling worse. And so having that, I'm grateful for that awareness, but I was also thinking if we should talk about that too, it's on my channel. We talk about how, when you're a little addicted to certain apps, they're not doing you a service at all. It's not even entertaining you. It's just making you sad or making you angry or giving you false information, which is, who wants any of those things?
Right. Well, as a political writer, there's certainly no shortage of material these days. That's for sure.
Oh my God. It's absolute chaos. Has there ever been a more chaotic time?
I don't remember in my life. Yep. In my lifetime, it's the banner breaking news never goes away. It's always breaking news.
It's crazy.
It is. It is. Twitter. You're big on social media and Twitch. Why did you pick Twitch to do a campaign for the new album with? For the benefit of our international audience who may not be familiar with Twitch because, here in the United States, we catch up on the latest technology and it kind of trickles down to the rest of the world. What exactly is Twitch? How do people access it? How can they get your album?
Okay. So actually, there's a couple things to probably clear up then. If I'm speaking to people that don't know what it is, number one, these albums are not the centerpiece of the discussion, actually. Really the action is on the channel. So the Twitch is a live stream platform. For a long time, it's been really known as a gaming platform. So people go on and play video games and talk about video games. That's the majority of what they've been known for a long time. But other things have become more and more popular on the platform. So people will go on and they might stream video games for 6 hours. I mean, you know, there are definitely plenty of examples of people who have streamed games for 24 hours on like a marathon. And they can collaborate and work and stream together. But when it comes to other things, there's art, there's people who draw and paint on the channel, there's people who sculpt, there's people who just chat, there's people who do interviews, and there's people who do music. A lot of musicians started ending up on the channel this year because they couldn't do live shows and they wanted to live stream their performances. Sometimes those performances look like a concert that, you know, you would go see 60 to 90 minutes. Sometimes they look like somebody in their bedroom, like, playing covers for, you know, a little while. A couple people stream their music creation process. Not very many. When I saw that for the first time, I realized, wow, there's really an opportunity on this channel to do something that not very many people are doing. And I do it very differently from the people that are there. Most of the people who are there are on their laptop or on their computer, like working inside the box. And imagine like a DJ, right? Like they're producing tracks using virtual instruments. Well, on my channel, like you might tune in and I might be playing drums and showing you about the mic configurations or showing you about how different ways to lay in guitar parts. And I'm working inside the box too and doing, you know, virtual instruments as well. But I definitely feel like it's a very vibrant world over there. That's like, it's not something that really exists. I don't think it really exists on any other platform, at least the English speaking platform. But by the way, my channel, if you want to check it out, is twitch.tv/officialMikeShinoda. And, today, what am I doing today? I didn't decide. Usually I'll decide on a Monday what I'm going to do on Tuesday. And I didn't do that yesterday. So today is going to be a surprise stream, I guess.
Ooh. And again, the channel is, if people want to go check it out.
The channel is twitch.tv/officialMikeShinoda.
All right. People definitely have to check that out and check out the new albums, Drop Frames, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And I want to talk about another album. I'm sure many people recognize that Mike Shinoda's the guy who put the band Linkin Park together back in 1996. And you've come on a very special anniversary, the 20th anniversary of Hybrid Theory, which is one of your most, you know, loved and successful albums of all, you know, you've had many, many albums. What does Hybrid Theory mean to you? And the 20th anniversary of that album, how do you reflect on it?
When I think of Hybrid Theory, more than thinking about like the launch pad of the band and, you know, the career that it's given us, I think of like all of the firsts. And all of the, you know, the feeling you get on a road trip, like it's a lot of that. It's a feeling of like going out into the world and not knowing what's out there and experiencing like so many things for the first time. Before we had finished our album, I had never even been to New York before. Like I went to New York City for the first time mixing the album. And I was like, and I remember we came out, we were walking in front of Madison Square Garden. It was just me and our guitarist, Brad. We mixed with Andy Wallace, who we picked him because he mixed Nirvana's Nevermind. It was like, this is like, he's a legend. And we get to meet him tomorrow. And, you know, we're in the city and I'm looking around and Brad's like, dude, he has family in New York, by the way. So he's been there a few times. He's like, dude, you can't be like looking up like that. Like you look like an idiot tourist. We're going to get mugged. Like keep your face down, like stop looking around. But I was obviously like, I was just this kid in awe of the world. And that continued for all of us through that time. As you can imagine, just going to so many countries for the first time and meeting so many people for the first time. And this year is the 20th anniversary.
face that watches every time they lie. Face that laughs every time they fall.
God watches everything.
So you know that when it's time to sink or swim, that the face inside is watching you too, right inside your skin.
It's like I'm paranoid, looking over my back. It's like a whirlwind inside of my head. It's like I can't stop what I'm hearing within. It's like the face inside is right beneath the skin. It's like I'm paranoid, looking over my back.
What's up, you guys? This is Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. You are listening to Border Crossings.
Fly!
watch how the moon sits in the sky on a dark night, shining with the light from the sun. If the sun doesn't give light to the moon, assuming the moon's gonna bow with one, it makes me think of how you act for me. You do favors there rapidly. You just turn around and start asking me about things that you want back from me. I'm sick of the tension, sick of the hunger, sick of you acting like I owe you this. Find another place to feed your greed while I find a place to rest.
I wanna be in another place. I hate when you say you don't understand.
Step on people like you do and run away all the people I thought I knew. I remember back then who you were. You used to be calm, used to be strong, used to be generous, but you should have known that you wear out your welcome, and now you see how quiet it is all alone. I'm so sick of the tension, sick of the hunger, sick of you acting like I owe you this. Find another place to feed your greed, will I find a place to rest? I'm so sick of the tension, sick of the hunger, sick of you acting like I owe you this. Find another place to feed your greed, will I find a place to rest?
I hate when you say you don't understand. I wanna be in the energy, not with the enemy. I play for my head.
You try to take the best of me, go away. You try to take the best of me, go away. You try to take the best of me, go away. You try to take the best of me, go away. You try to take the best of me, go away.
Spectacular box set to celebrate the album. And I have to say, most of the work was not in the hands of the band. This is maybe the first release we've had where we didn't do very much. The management and the label and even our friends and families, like our drummer's mom and dad, like found all these old pictures and all these, we had all these, you know, we transcribed all these different stories. We wrote down all these little memories about all this stuff, put it in an 80-page book. We've got, I don't remember how many CDs. There's two live shows that we've never released. And then there's a full documentary of all, like, I've never before seen footage of us at the time. And watching that is like, I think that DVD is my favorite piece. Like I forgot half of those things even happened. And it's just so funny, and everybody's so young and doesn't even know. I mean, we didn't know anything.
I'm sure you had mixed emotions about it because Chester's not here anymore to share in this special event in, you know, the history, the legacy of the band Linkin Park. And so I have to ask the question because the fans want to know, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, will Linkin Park get back together?
Well, we don't have, I mean, to address the first part, I think the, yeah, of course we would have preferred to have him with us to do this, but I think what's one thing that is special about looking at, especially with this much distance between his passing and now, one thing that's so nice about this release is that you do get this wonderful joy, that we all felt at the time. And it's so awesome to look back at that, and that I feel like it's definitely more of a positive project than anything. It's definitely, it feels fun. And with that said, like, I, you know, we don't have any plans right now to do, we're not doing anything as a band right now. And maybe part of that is that, you know, looking back at this stuff, like oftentimes people ask, well, why? This is a little bit of a detour, but it makes me think of the fact that people have asked, they asked especially years ago when we really started to change our sound. From the first two albums were a certain sound, and then after that it started to go away from that. And at some point people were like, well, why are you changing your sound? Like, you're known for this thing. It's performed so well. And we were like, well, you know, we just could never imagine ourselves being the type of band that repeated the same thing over and over. Like, we needed that variety in our lives. We needed to challenge ourselves and do different things. And over the course of, you know, like, I don't know how many years, 17 years, we really like covered so much ground. And so, you know, if we were to ever start up again, I think that I would hope that it would have to do with wanting to, like, having a creative drive to that we had something to say, we had something to make, that we go, oh, okay, this is something the world needs. So right now I think we're just not feeling that, which is probably fine and natural.
Right.
I think it's a much better use of energy to just celebrate the fans and celebrate this, you know, this moment in time that happened.
Mm-hmm. And Fort Minor, any chance of the Fort Minor project again?
Not right now. No,
not right now. All the focus is on Drop Frames, which is the brand new project from Mike Shinoda, and a new album. You said a volume 3 is coming out,
which is, I think, 14 more tracks of instrumental silliness that we did. Actually, it's not all silly. I shouldn't say that. But it's 14 tracks of instrumentals we made on the channel on Twitch.
And there's a variety of themes and moods and
energies.
And
yeah. A lot of times on the channel, there is I'll take, basically people can earn by being on the channel. You're rewarded for loyalty. You're rewarded for being there. So as opposed to, you know, other platforms where you like and forward and retweet and whatever, things. On Twitch, you really get points for being present. And on my channel, those are called Shinoda Bucks. So when you save up enough Shinoda Bucks, you can spend them on, asking a question, suggesting a theme for the art day, or suggesting a theme for a music day. And the music days, I mash up different themes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's like, sometimes it's things that fit together, like, you know, a rock thing and a blues thing, whatever. But I've gotten classical, I've gotten movie scores, you know, suggestions. They've said, you know, can you make a song in the style of this Final Fantasy video game? Can you make a song in the style of this Pokemon? Can you make a song in the style of Michael Jackson circa Thriller? A song in the style of Red Hot Chili Peppers, a song, you know, and so on. It's, and a lot of times I've got to take those things and mash them up together. Mm-hmm. So meaning I have to do a Final Fantasy video game meets Michael Jackson Thriller song, which is super challenging and super fun for me to do. And that's what you'll hear, what you hear on some of these tracks on Drop Frames.
Mm. Are the 10-year-olds showing any inclination to music? Are you encouraging
my kid? I have three kids, and we don't push them to do music so much. But they love it anyway. Actually, there's always music going on in the house, but it's upstairs you'll hear, like downstairs you'll hear live drums, upstairs you'll hear, usually Broadway theater.
Wow. That's great.
Somewhere I belong, I will never know myself. They'll tell you I don't care anymore. And I hope you'll know that's a lie. Cause I found what I have been waiting for. But to get there means crossing the line. I don't know how to warn you for what I'm gonna say. Cause you're holding so tight to what I'm taking away. I got demons inside me, so I'm faced with a choice. Either try to ignore them, or I give them a voice. And it's keeping me up at night, worried it's not alright. Holding back things you don't know. And it's keeping me up at night, worried it's not alright. You're not gonna like where this goes. And they'll tell you I don't care anymore. And I hope you know that's a lie. Cause I found what I have been waiting for. But to get there means crossing a line. So I'm crossing a line. It's not about status. We know it never was. Cause what good is the kingdom when you're missing the love? This is not a goodbye now. I'm not going away. No, I don't have the answers, but I do have the faith. Oh, and it's keeping me up at night, worried it's not alright. Holding back things you don't know. And it's keeping me up at night, worried it's not alright. You're not gonna like where this goes. No, and I'll tell you I don't care anymore. And I hope you'll know that's a lie. Cause I found what I have been waiting for. But to get there means crossing the line. So I'm crossing the line. And I'll tell you I don't care anymore. And I hope you'll know that's a lie.
Was Mike Shinoda, our guest today for Border Crossings. I want to thank Mike for joining us. He was on a few years ago when he was putting out Fort Minor and Where'd You Go, some of the other projects. Now, of course, Mike was very open and honest and candid about the future of Linkin Park, and it's up in the air. They just don't know. They all have an open mind, and they're hoping that something does happen together, but with the loss of Chester Bennington in 2017, of course, that has been a devastating loss for the guys who celebrated their 20th anniversary recently. I thank you so much for listening to Border Crossings. Again, thanks to Mike Shinoda for joining us. I'm Larry London. Have a great evening, and I'll see you soon right here on Border Crossings. This is the VOA Global English Network.
it starts with one thing.
I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I'm designed to try to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on to, didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far. Try, keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. In spite of the way you were mocking me, acting like I was part of your property, remembering all the times you fought with me. I'm surprised it got so. Things aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. You kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. To me will eventually be a memory.